Tonight, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter number 6, as we started a series last week, and not sure how long that goes, it's up to the Lord, but it's titled God's Answers for Life's Questions. And there's many questions that we face in life, many problems, many difficulties that we face in life, but I'm thankful that we have the Bible that has the answers for life. Amen? And you ever go to find an answer to a question or a problem, and you got something you have to fix, and you think, surely someone else has faced this before, and I can find the answer online somewhere, and you can find a video or the part or whatever it may be. Sometimes that helps you. Sometimes you get more confused. You're like, it's not exactly what I'm facing, or it doesn't quite fix your problem. But we can go and look in life to try to answer the problems for life, and we can ask people and search online and go take a poll, but I'm thankful that we have the eternal, preserved, inspired Word of God that the Bible says is good for all generations. It's profitable, the Bible says. It's useful. It's beneficial in our life. You know, the Bible is only useful if we use it. It doesn't help us just sitting on the shelf. We have to read it and study and memorize it and then apply it to our lives. And God can help us, and God wants to help. And I believe that many times God is looking at our lives thinking, I want to help you, you just have to ask. I want to help you, you just have to listen. I want to help you, you just have to submit to my way. But too many times, maybe it's just me, we get a little hard-headed and we want to figure out the hard way instead of the easy way. And then finally you go, okay, God, I'll do it your way. And we'll submit to the Word of God, to what God says. And we're going to look at Romans chapter number 6, and then we'll turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll look at chapter 6 there as well. So Romans chapter 6 to begin with tonight. And I'm not going to go through a lot of introduction tonight with the message or recap from last week, but that was basically it. But just taking the Bible and applying it to our lives. Maybe it's something that you face now, something in the future, maybe a help for somebody else, but the Bible is always profitable when we hear it, we listen to it and apply it to our lives. So Romans chapter number 6, and I want to look at verse number 1 and 2, I believe it is, to begin with, and then we'll skip down a bit. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" What is God's? There's a question. And then a response. Shall we continue in sin? And God's answer is, God forbid. God forbid. God does not want us to remain in bondage to sin, right? Are you thankful for that? And it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? How are we that are dead to sin saved? Doesn't mean you have no sin nature. That'd be great. That'd be great if you no longer had a sin nature. And what do they say you, what do they call that? Eradication of your sin nature, and you've gotten rid of that completely. Well, first of all, no one's ever done that, all right? The people that say that they are, they're lying about it. So, but how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We do not have to live under the bondage of sin any longer. Amen? And if we do, it's by choice. Before you get saved, you don't have a choice. You don't have a spiritual nature, but once you get saved, you have a spiritual nature, you can get victory over sin. Amen? Let's look down at verse number 12. Please, the Bible says, "Let not sin therefore reign or control in your mortal body, that ye should obey it to the lust thereof. Neither yield ye yourselves as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?" Again, God says, God forbid. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto righteousness or obedience, sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." This passage is such a powerful chapter, talking about how we don't have to live under the bondage and the power of sin any longer. First of all, when you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Amen? And basically, God is saying, why would you want to go back to the old life? Why would you want to live in the flesh? Because we're under grace and we can do whatever we want now because we're under grace and I'm not going to hell. You are under grace, but why would you want to go back? Is what the Lord is saying. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 12. We'll look at one verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just one book over. And verse number 12, the Bible says, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And we started this subject about God's answers to life's questions or problems that we face. And I'm going to a series of just what does the Bible say about, and take a subject and look at as many verses and principles, and you cannot exhaust one topic in now 20 minutes left of the message. You cannot fully exhaust what the Scripture has to say about it, but to give you some Scripture verses, some truths and thoughts about it. And tonight is a little bit more of an introductory message to some of the subjects that we will address in the future, but the subject tonight is, what does the Bible say about addictions? I'm not intending to go alphabetically through this or through a certain order, but what does the Bible say about addictions? You say, well, I don't have any addictions. Well, first of all, we all have a sin nature, and so to an extent, yes, we do. And we do face besetting sins that we face. I won't have time to turn you to every scripture. If you want to write them down, you can. But in Hebrews 12, verse number 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's the example, if you're getting ready to run a race, do you want to run that race with extra baggage? If you're training, maybe you do put on extra weights to prepare for that race. But if you're running a race, you want to set aside the weights and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Everyone has some sort of besetting sins that you struggle with. So again, when I talk about what does the Bible say about addictions, the first thought may be, I don't have any addiction problems. We all have a sin problem, and that's what we're going to address in regards to the addiction issues or sin issues that we face. Why? Because we all have besetting sins. You say, I don't have any besetting sins. We all have addictive personalities, don't we? Maybe for you it's chocolate. Can I get a witness on the chocolate, all right? You're like, if it's chocolate, I'm eating it. I'll hide in the closet. Well, that's not an addictive personality. Okay, I've got kids, all right? You know, I can't help it. Maybe it's coffee, all right? Maybe it's your telephone. And I don't know if you get those reports once a week on how long you've been on your phone, and you're like, oh, don't look at it. No, it wasn't that much, right? And we have addictive, sinful personalities. It's called a sinful nature or a fleshly nature. Guess what? That fleshly nature wants to sin. And it wants to sin more and more and more. And the things that are wrong, we could turn to the passage in Romans, the things that I should not do, I do. The things I shouldn't do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. We have a sin nature. You may say, well, there's certain things, they're not bad. You know, it's not bad to do it. In some things, maybe not in moderation in the right place, but things that take the place of God in our lives, the things where we should be submitting and following to God or trusting in God, and we trust in other areas, and we could go into some specifics. We will into some of those tonight or just kind of mentioning those. But anything in our life as a sin nature can get out of hand and become addictive or become a habit. They say that if you do something for 30 days in a row, it can become a habit, either good or bad. Many times the bad habits form a lot quicker than the good habits do. And many times the bad habits take so much longer to get victory over, however many years or decades the habit may be. There's people in the Bible that they struggle with addiction issues, if you will. And again, the way that we may look at this, and we say, well, I don't struggle with drugs and alcohol, and there could be some here in the room. We're not going to specifically cover those tonight. But sin issues that we face in our life. What about lying? So, but telling the truth. The Bible says Jacob was known as what? Jacob the what? the deceiver. And some of that, you see that as a personality trait, if you will. I don't know, personality, but was passed down. Abraham passed that down, and where he would lie and be deceptive. Isaac, Jacob. And you see that nature, addiction of lying and deception. What about Samson with lust or with women? And he said, I see that woman and I want her. Well, that was his downfall, wasn't it? Along with pride. But think about it, Delilah, over and over. You know, what's the secret of your strength? And he lies to her and tells her something else. She keeps asking him and he keeps giving her answers until he gives her the right answer. Samson had a problem. And we'll get to it in a little bit. He had a problem that he did not see that everyone else saw, right? Many times we don't look at our sins as a problem, but everyone else's sins, they're the ones that are problems. If we ask what your spouse's problem is, your kids, you know, they have this problem, but they won't deal with it. But then we don't want to reveal ours as well. Saul had an addiction to envy when it came to David. So bad, an anger and an envy issue that he wanted to literally spear him to the wall over and over and over again and hunted him down as a dog because of the envy that he had. You know, Saul has slain his thousands, but David is tens of thousands. And that envy crept in his heart. And that was his demise and his pride issues as well. Judas had a greed issue. He was the treasurer. And you could see that in different parts of Scripture and sold Jesus Christ for that 30 pieces of silver. The rich young ruler had an addiction to materialism where he said, I've not done anything wrong, you know. He was pretty much saying he was perfect. And Jesus said, go and sell all that you have. And he went away sorrowful because he had much possessions. Nebuchadnezzar, pride, and you could go on. We'll cover some specific subjects in the future about what God says about these areas and different things that you may or may not look at as an addictive sin issue, but it really is. Again, we can look at this topic tonight and say, well, I don't have any problems. Well, yes, you do, and yes, I do. And if we were to ask someone close to you to say, this is a problem, but they won't deal with it. They won't admit it. They don't want to get help. They just want to keep that for themselves. May we take this message personally, not in the bad way, in the good way, all right? Draw a circle around yourself because the Word of God is meant for me first, right? In preaching the message, it's for me first before I preach it to anyone else, but for you as well, what God speaks to your heart about. Again, we all have a fleshly nature, right? And the flesh always wants to sin and sin more and more and more. The flesh is never satisfied. Think about that. The sin issues we face in life, the flesh is never satisfied. It wants more of the same thing or of something else, and it has to be bigger. And so we must deal with the issue. It will never be satisfied. Know this, that the flesh is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. All right? The Bible says these are contrary the one to the other. Right? And it's a battle that we face every day. You have that same battle. I want to do right, but I struggle in these areas. I'm trying to get victory, but it's, you know, it's a struggle. It's a battle, the flesh against the spirit. A couple of thoughts as we get into the message. I'll try to go quickly through it in a sense. Addiction is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Addiction, it's a sin issue that we face, but it's a spiritual issue. The issues that we face, they are spiritual issues. Sometimes our sin issues are inward. They're inward. You know, no one sees it, but it's a problem in the mind, in the heart. It's something that's inside. Sometimes our sin issues are unseen. Sometimes they are seen. Whether it's seen or not, it's still an issue. Sometimes you think, well, where did that come from? Well, there's a heart issue, and we'll get to some more points of that a little bit later. Wrong thinking about addictions is this: I'm in control of my sin. That's the most dangerous lie that you can tell yourself, or the devil can tell you, that I'm in control of my sin. I'll only let it go this far. I'll never let it cross this line. You're not in control of your sin, right? May we understand that tonight. You are never in control of your sin. Kind of like that person that sparks a fire in a field. In a field of grass, it's all dead and dry. I'm gonna spark a fire here, but I'm going to be in control. You will for about 1 second, and then it's out of control. I'm in control of my sin. Or another one is this: it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Or it's not as bad as your sin. You know what's interesting? We always compare ourselves to someone worse than us. Don't we? I'm good at that sometimes. I don't have the problems they have. But we're not to compare ourselves with other people. You compare yourself to the Word of God. Amen? It's not that bad. Or it's just a little sin. Or no one knows about it. It's not a problem because no one knows about it. The Bible says, be sure your sins will what? Will find you out. We quote that to our kids, but that's for us as well. See, the little sins become big sins. The unseen things become seen and known because God will reveal those in our life. A couple thoughts as we begin the message here. Again, addiction, it's a root sin. It's something that starts here, but it grows to another area. Many times what we do is you picture a tree here. We picture the tree and it's got some roots and it's got the trunk and it's got the branches, the leaves and the fruit. And many times we deal with the fruit issues and we pull the fruit off. Well, I can't control my tongue, so I pull the fruit off. And I can't control the drinking or the thoughts. And we go and pick the fruit off, but guess what happens? It keeps growing back. And we deal with the outward issues, the stuff that's easy to get to. But what you have to do is you have to go to cut the roots out. You got to grind that stump up, right? That's fun. Dig around it, grind up that stump, you hack away at the roots. You say, that takes work. Yes, it does. It takes work, but if you want to deal with the issues here, you got to deal with the issues down here. In other words, if you want to deal with the issues out here, you got to deal with the issues in here. It's a heart issue that we deal with. It's a root sin. An addiction is a bad choice followed by many other bad choices, or the same one over and over and over and over again. But again, it continually grows. Know this, that all bad habits start with one choice. Some addictive habits start with one time. There's some drugs, one time you're addicted. It doesn't take multiple times, it's one time. You think, well, I'm not going to do it for a long time. Just one look, just one time, and it grows from there. What a dirty lie of the devil, right? It's just one time. Or I can stop it anytime I want. That's a classic, isn't it? I can stop. It's not that bad. Those are telltale signs of an addiction problem, a sin problem that we face in our lives. A couple points tonight that I hope can be a help tonight. And again, it's not a specific issue I'm addressing, but whatever God points your heart to and my heart to with the sins that I struggle with, the besetting sins I face in my life. The Bible says we should not be brought under the power of any. God should control my life, right? God should control my life. Not any other thing, person, God should control my life. Number one point is this. What does the Bible say about addictions? God has the answers and gives freedom from sin. God wants you to have freedom from sin, not be under the bondage of sin. Think about the Israelites. They were in bondage, I believe it was for 430 years, and they're in Egypt, and they got comfortable in Egypt, didn't they? The food and the work, even when it got worse, they were comfortable where they are. They didn't want to leave. They said, Moses, you came here to kill us. And they wanted Moses gone. They wanted to stay in their bondage. What a foolish thought, because they were in bondage. It's all they saw. It's all they knew. And Moses let them out, and immediately they got to the Red Sea. We want to go back. God was leading them to a life of victory from the world over sin, but they wanted to go back. That's what our flesh does, doesn't it? It wants to go back. I'm comfortable with it. That's how I grew up. That's how my parents talk. That's how the surroundings, I'm comfortable with it. We go back to it. And God wants you to have a life of victory over sin. Victory over sin. Think about it. The works of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Isn't that what people are searching for in life? You don't get that from the world. I just want the satisfaction, just one more look, one more whatever. It'll never satisfy, ever. You'll never get joy from sin. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for how long? For a season. But then there's the consequences that come from it. The punishment. There's the baggage that comes along with it as well. People are truly looking for that, but people are looking for peace and joy and love and all the wrong places because they're not coming to the Word of God. Now, as a Christian, as a child of God, we know better. But yet our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see, I know better, but our flesh constantly wants to go back to the world, constantly wants to go back. And God said, I'm trying to give you victory. It's kind of like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? Right? You can come to church, you can get the Bible, you can do all the things, but you have to want it, though. You have to want that freedom, that victory. You can't give it to somebody else. You can pray for someone and help and encourage them, but until they see, I'm in bondage, or you or me, I'm in bondage to this sin, I want freedom, what does the Bible say about it? God wants you to have a life of victory and of freedom. We looked at some of those verses in the book of Romans. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, won't have time to turn there. This message will continue again for sure. And so 1 Corinthians, let's just turn there. We've got time now. I think you're pretty close to that anyway. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 26. I don't ever want to rush through a message, but I'm a man, so I want to finish something that I start. And that's just kind of how it works. But 1 Corinthians 9:26, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was saying, I'm preaching the Bible. I'm preaching against sin and the devil and all that. But he said, if I don't bring my body under subjection, under control from the Spirit, he said, I myself will be just like the people I'm preaching to and become a castaway. I'll end up under bondage, a saved person living in sin. A saved person living under the bondage and the power of sin. That God does not want you to live under bondage anymore. He wants you to have freedom, but too many times we're looking back. What happens when Abraham prayed and God sent the angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to go and get Lot and his family out, and Lot and his wife and their daughters left? But what happened when they left? Lot's wife, she did what? She turned back. You say, she shouldn't have turned back. Well, that was her home. She had loved ones there, right? She shouldn't have turned back. She became a pillar of salt as a testimony. Remember the verse, remember Lot's wife. Too many times in our life, we're saved from that sin. I've been freed from that sin, but we're looking back. Ooh, but one, remember that? Why would we talk about it? Why think about it? Why go back to bondage in your mind? Galatians 5, verse number 16. Again, we're not going to get too much further in the message, so let's just go turn to every scripture tonight, all right? Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. I quoted some of the verses here, but I want you to look at them. And this passage here talks about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. You look at that list, you do not want to be on the list of the works of the flesh, right? But what happens, how do we get there? How do we get to the works of the Spirit? In Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As a young person, I remember thinking, well, if I just don't do the wrong things, picking the fruit, if I just don't do the wrong things, then I can do the right things. And then I looked at this verse, and I thought, well, I'm getting it backwards. I'm trying to address the wrong in the flesh, instead of walking in the Spirit so that God can help you, because you can't defeat the flesh on your own, can you? You can't. I can't defeat the flesh alone. I need God's help to defeat the flesh, to walk in victory. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and then ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk with God, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That doesn't mean read your Bible in the morning and then walk away from God for the rest of the day. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's walking with God for 15 minutes, for 30 minutes. But you need to walk with God throughout the day. Too many times we are guilty. I'm guilty of this, walking with God, and then you close the Bible, and you go on with the rest. I got my spiritual things out of the way. No, God wants to walk with you all throughout the day. Why? Because I'm going to battle this flesh all day long. You know that song, once again I faced Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long. You're going to face that battle, that flesh, the devil, all day long. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hand, everything, all day long. So we must walk with God. Walk in the Spirit, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, or battles against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The things you want to do, the things you should do in the flesh, you can't do that. I can't live for God in the flesh. It's impossible. And then it talks about this, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, you can look at that list. I don't want to live that kind of life. Amen? You don't want to live that kind of life anymore. You say, that's what I used to be. You don't have to live that way anymore. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such that are, there is no law. Look at this in verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, if you're saved, let us also, what? Walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. God does not want you to live in bondage and defeat. He wants you to live a life of victory. So what is it that God put on your heart tonight? You battle that flesh? Man, there's too many times at the end of the day I think, I lost the battle today. I lost the battle in this area, in that area, in several areas. I lost the battle. God, would you help me to get victory tomorrow? Would you forgive me for doing wrong? I'm thankful that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and say, God, help me tomorrow. Help me tomorrow to walk in the Spirit. Say, don't get victory all the time. Are you getting victory sometimes? Well, keep getting victory and keep getting victory and keep getting victory and don't live a life defeated by sin. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to choose that sin, and then he wants to beat you over the head with that sin and say, see, you're a loser. You're never going to get victory over it. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, bless you, is a victory. Me on my own is a defeat. I can't defeat my flesh on my own. I can't defeat the devil on my own. This world, I need God's help to walk in the Spirit. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the night. Pray for your